Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. This is Brother E from on the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. You know, it's a good reminder to be thankful this morning. And I'm thinking of all the holidays that have some kind of bad background, you know, pagan, occultic background. You might be surprised how many there are like that and how few there are that really seem to have honored God from the beginning. But Thanksgiving's one of those things. It seems like it was started on a good foundation, and it's a good thing. We need to be thankful every day of the year, but it's also good to set a day apart to honor the Lord in the bountiful harvest that we've had and the many good things that have happened in our past year. But this morning, I don't have anything prepared for Thanksgiving. Probably should have had, didn't think of it quick enough, but I am concluding a four-part study on 1 Kings 18 on Elijah, with a showdown on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and would like to continue there this morning. So let me get to the right page here, and I'm going to read from where we left off the other time, which I believe was in 35, we left off, where they had drenched the altar of the Lord with water before Elijah called down fire upon it. Let's read 36 down through. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What a marvelous story, what a contrast between idolatry, devil worship, and between the true worship of God, Jehovah. What a contrast. Elijah's humble prayer, just his straightforward manner of beseeching the Lord, of worshiping him, of praying, asking him to show himself real and strong. And the fire fell from heaven and consumed it all. And nobody had anything to say as far as there was no argument that Baal was the true God, that Jehovah wasn't. There was no arguing. It was very, very evident. Now, I believe that to us, it's probably just as evident. It should be. When we consider the good things that God has done in our own life, when we consider the Word of God, you know, we don't need a marvelous manifestation of God right before our eyes like it was here. What we need is our eyes opened, our hearts opened, to see and to believe the things that God has already done. He's given us the Word of God, which is very, very deep, very, very good, very, very wise, and we can glean from it the answers that we need to life. We are told that everything is given in Scripture for the man of God to be perfectly furnished unto all good works. So we have evidence of God in the scriptures. We have evidence of God around us in creation, the marvelous creation that we live in. If our eyes are just open and in tune with what God has done, it is marvelous, very, very marvelous. And among God's people, when we consider the great blessings that are among his people compared to the world, the brokenness of relationships in the world, whether in marriage and in parents and children and sibling rivalry, and just the world's a broken up place. But among the people of God, it is not that way. Yes, there are some that fail, there are some that fall away, there are some that do not carry through with the grace and the strength of God, but follow the way of the world, and that is to be regretted. But if you look at the overall picture, the people of God themselves are a proof of God's strength and his power and his goodness. Just like they did here, they took the 450 prophets of Baal and slew every one of them. That's what we should do with our own carnal appetites, with our own feelings, with our own perverted ways of thinking about worship and about God and such. We need to put away all those things. Put them to death. Pride, self-sufficient feelings, sensuality, gluttony, love of money, idolatry, rebellion, witchcraft, superstition, unbelief. Put all those things to death, just like Elijah did with his helpers there. Just the way God answered when Elijah called on him, he will also answer us if we call upon him and truly want his name to be glorified like Elijah did. That's what Elijah was about. He wanted God to be glorified. That was what it was all about. And if we are all about glorifying God, God will also move on our behalf. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust." Now, how do we glorify God? One thing is, we make him look good. Make him look good to the world around us. We make him look good to our children. Make him look good to everybody and anybody that we can interact with and communicate with. Make God look good. If we go about our day long-faced and sad and tearful, grudgingly, dissatisfied, unhappy, unjoyful, bitterness in our hearts, complaining, grumbling, if that's how we go through our day, through our life, God is not glorified. That doesn't make God look good. But, on the contrary, when we rejoice in God's goodness, when we have a smile on our face, when we face difficulties with cheerfulness and fortitude, then we make God look good without even saying anything sometimes, many times. We should also talk about the Lord. We should talk about his goodness. We should lift him up and exalt him in word as well as in deed. But it must be in deed first. If it's not in deed, it's not in deed. Okay. We take his word seriously. If we don't take God's word seriously, we can say all we want about how good God is and how great he is and worship him and all those things. We can sing to him, we can praise him, but if we don't truly take his word seriously, then it's in vain, because it's just not going to work. We're not going to be able to make it without taking God's word seriously. If I speak to my children and tell them how to do something, and they don't heed it at all, they just go on their own way, they do it the way they seem to think that it works best, and think, well, they probably know better anyhow, Dad doesn't understand, and such and such. If that's what happens, I don't feel honored at all. And they can say what they want, but if they don't take my word seriously, it doesn't make me feel like I'm a good dad or like I have any honor. God's the same way. We need to honor his word and worship his word and glorify him in his word and obey his word. Amen. All right, that's that. Another way we glorify God is give place for his wrath. God is angry with the wicked every day, Psalms tells us. And God is a righteous judge, and he's a very exacting judge. If we don't repent of our sins will destroy us. And to acknowledge that, to give place for God to do that, to declare him righteous in doing it, that's another way that we give God glory. God can't be holy without hating that which is not holy. And we are the same way. We can't be holy without hating that which is unholy. Whatever we love, we hate the things that are contrary to it. If we love God, we hate all things that take away from God and his glory. Joshua 7:19, Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. When we live a transparent life, when we confess our faults, our sins, and such, we are also glorifying God. So may we seek to glorify God day in and day out, especially as we get up in the morning. May our focus be on God, and how can we glorify God today? How can I make God look good today to those around me? Well, God bless you. Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, and see you back tomorrow.